My very special guest, Sydney Ross Singer from KillerCulture.com, who's one of the visionaries who also incidentally created Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I'm just joking. Speaking of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, we're going to be talking about some taboo topics, which are usually banned under FCC regulations. We're not going to be using any bad language or anything, but, you know, some of those bodily functions that we've all got going on, which seem to be natural, and we think we shouldn't be doing them around other people, you know. I remember when I'm going around sometimes and I really badly need to take a wiki leak, you know, when you're driving or something, and people go, Vinny, you know, just hold it until we go to a bathroom. And I go, a bathroom? Look, I'm a man. The world is my urinal. Just stop anywhere, whip it out, and it's done. You know, what are people worried about? You know, I don't get. Anyway, so. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Vinny. That was a great intro. Actually, what I was going to talk about is what happens when we can't go to the bathroom when you need to, and is it good to hold it in? And the fact is, it causes a whole bunch of diseases. But like you say, in our society today, it's very hard to find an opportunity to go to the bathroom. You could be driving on the freeway, and you're stuck in traffic. And you got to go, and your bladder is just bursting, and or you might have to defecate, and you just are like holding it in. Well, that's modern life, and we're taught to do that early on with diaper training, and we're taught to try to hold it in and wait for toilet training. Actually, in the diaper training, we teach the kids to go in their diapers, and then we try to teach them not to go in their pants anymore and stop and go in the toilet. But we have to manage our excretions for the cultural requirements that we have. A lot of people don't like using public toilets either, which are available like in schools or in public places. So it's another inconvenience of going to the bathroom. Well, what happens if you hold it in? Well, think about your bladder and where that is and what happens when you hold in urine. Urine is a salty solution. And when you hold it in, it starts to concentrate under the pressure. And as you take a salt solution and concentrate it, what do you form? You form crystals. So kidney bladder stones can be caused by just holding in your urine. And over time, doing this as a habit. A reason for holding in urine. Another one is you might live in a house where it's cold at night in the wintertime, or you don't want to get out of bed, and you just try to hold in your bladder as long as you can. See if you can make it to the morning. See if you can make it to the next thing. You know, I'm just trying to have people think about in their lifetimes, in their lifestyles, how often they choose to hold it in. So if that's your typical way of dealing with needing to urinate, then you're asking for bladder infections as well as stones, because when you stretch the lining of the bladder and irritate it with this concentrated urine, you're going to be irritating the mucous membranes. That's going to allow other things to pass into them. That's like your first line of defense is down because it's irritated. And so you're more likely to get bladder infections. And also, if the bladder is really full, the kidney can't drip down into it anymore from its passive drip process. So it'll prevent the kidneys from properly filtering eventually. And you'll start getting toxic from holding in your urine.
Speaking of which, I know a couple of people are doing urine therapy. They're drinking their own wee, and one of them wound up starting to get kind of a rash or something around his mouth. And I was just like, dude, your body's getting rid of it for a reason, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
Is that like some kind of a big myth that people are doing, you know, urine therapy, or is there some weight to it?
Some weight to it?
Maybe it was a poor choice of words.
Well, now they're also using... stool therapy. You know, they're actually, for some bowel problems, they're giving people other people's stool, like a turd. And they'll insert the turd into this person so that the probiotics inside the turd will provide... I'm not making this up. This is in the news. This is regular medicine doing this type of thing. They probably charge you a lot for it, too. You could probably get a lot of donors, though, but that's another story. But when it comes
to... This is like the human centipede all over again. Dear goodness.
Okay. Let me get back to the bladder for a second, because there's something I wanted to mention that men should know about, which is prostate enlargement. If you look at the anatomy of the body, the bladder is sitting right above the prostate, and if the bladder is large and heavy, it's going to be pushing on the prostate. And the prostate's known to thicken itself to withstand pressure. So you're going to get an enlarged prostate if you hold in your urine all the time. And it's also, by the way, interestingly, it's more of a problem for affluent cultures and higher socioeconomic people. People who don't have opportunities to go to the bathroom as much, like lecturers or doctors or people who are in cars a lot, bus drivers. There's a lot of professions where they just don't get good bathroom breaks. And they, as occupations, they have higher rates of these types of problems. And to pivot to holding in, you asked me about, let me get back to your question, is drinking your urine a good idea? Well, I personally don't, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't think I agree with you. It's an excretory function, and I don't see the benefit of that. But placebo effect being what it is, some people might feel a benefit from doing anything. So I don't know, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm sure people will say, "Oh, I swear by it." There are a lot of people who believe in that, but I guess it has to be your thing. But let's get to exactly. Let's get to what happens when you don't go to the bathroom, you don't defecate, and you hold that in. And more worse than that, what happens when you hold in the need to pass wind, to fart? And everybody is in that situation. You're in a social position situation, and you don't want to fart. You hold it in, and it can get very painful trying to hold in a fart. And the reason it's painful is the pressure of that contract of that gas wanting to come out and you holding that in, that pressure goes into the wall of your colon, which is basically like a big balloon, and suddenly a little bubble forms in that wall, and that's called a diverticulum. And the diverticulum is that's what it just means. It's a little pocket. And you develop, if these pockets, having them is a condition called diverticulosis, which a lot of people have. A lot of people, like more than half. And then diverticulitis, as they get older especially. Diverticulitis is when these get infected, because as you can imagine, in your colon, if you have little pockets, stuff can get in these pockets, you know, the fecal matter, that could then fester, and you can start getting infections. So that's very painful and very dangerous, okay? And it's a serious condition that threatens a lot of people. So what you want to do is don't hold it in. You need to let it out. Let the pressure out. It's either fart or blow up, but that's your choice. But it's much better to have it. There's some.
Is there a similar principle with belching as well?
I don't think people get. No, I don't think it's the same exact thing, but you certainly would want to let yourself belch. Yeah, I wouldn't want to hold that in, but I don't think you'd get diverticula in your stomach. I don't know what would happen if you held in your burps. You'd probably get some gas pains. Your stomach will just build up like gas. It needs to vent. I mean, we got a lot of gas going inside. We have this fermentation going inside our bodies. We have trillions of microorganisms that are feeding us, that we're feeding. You know, people don't think about that, but you know, when you think about a ruminant like a cow, they're eating the bacteria inside their rumen is digesting the grass and helping, and then they digest what these bacteria are producing and absorb that, and the bacteria helping them break down the grass. Well, in our case, you know, our bacteria aid with digestion, all these probiotics that we have in us, they aid with digestion and make less stress on our own pancreas for digestive enzymes. If you have the enzymes are in the food and the bacteria in your gut is helping break this stuff down. And, you know, so we work with a cultivated garden of bacteria in our bodies. And these sometimes get out of balance and they produce gases as they ferment things, and we have to vent them. That's just the way it is. But when the culture makes that an uncomfortable process, then we hold it in to the detriment of our health, because it's, you know, so that's typical of a culturogenic disease. It's the kind of thing that it's built into the way you do things, and it seems really countercultural to just be natural.